Hello and welcome to Relationship Rescue. Every relationship begins with you. Today, I really do want to talk about, what happens to yourself when you do live a life that has really been built, unfortunately, around trauma, around childhood trauma that then continued into your adulthood through a series or maybe one relationship that is unhealthy or toxic. You know, what was our mindset? Where do we go, right, with the fact that we have not found that eternal, let me take that back, not eternal, the peace, joy, love, and happiness that every human being deserves in life, and found that person that we can trust, that we can rely on, that we know will always be there, and we don't have to doubt that our truth is invalid, that we don't have to doubt that, you know what, let me check your phone again, or let me break into your emails, or let me have a private investigator follow you, or do whatever these things are, because we don't trust you. And when we don't have trust in a relationship, we don't have anything. But when we don't have also, when we also are in trauma bonds, you know, trauma bonds are basically two people that had childhood trauma and our wounding is coming together to heal. But it doesn't happen most of the time, right? Most of the time, people just keep going through reliving their trauma over and over, the childhood trauma in the present day. And so if people don't get help, they do end up never finding the life they desire and deserve, that they were meant to live. And it spills over into the finances, to the careers, to businesses, to every area of their life. You know, on my darkest days, and I don't have them hardly ever, you know, I shouldn't say my darkest days, on days now, before it was darkest days, now on days when I might get down, I do wonder what it would have been like. I still wonder to have parents that loved each other, that respected each other. But more than that, for me, I still do wonder, what is it like to have a mother? I still feel that pain. I'm 54 years old. My mother was killed when I was nearly three. She died on December 31st, 1972, and I turned three on February 11th. And I will still say, why? Why then? Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I just get a mother? Doesn't everybody get a mother? Who doesn't have a mother? People have mothers. God, why did I not have a mother? And then why did I end up with this narcissistic, abusive, alcoholic father who was so broken that he had no capability of helping fix his children? Only he basically just tore them down and broke them even further than they were already broken. Why don't I have a mom that, you know what, that could be a grandmother to my kids? Why did I have no help? Why could I not be that person that found the marriage that, you know, and stayed in it for 35 years and worked through the ups and the downs, but found love and peace and didn't get divorced? But those days are very, very, very few and far in between. And I mean, they go years without doing that. But so many of my clients only go days between thinking some of these things, but obviously in relation to their life. And I then, when I have these days, I have to turn it around, and I do, right? The contrast, obviously. I've talked about contrast so many times and said to myself, okay, but if I didn't have that, if that didn't happen to me, I wouldn't be this. And I wouldn't have the career that I have and the business that I have. And I wouldn't be the person that I am that can help and touch millions of lives through my podcast, through my writing, through my one-on-one work, through my group coaching, through the community that I'm building that is almost done, called the Relationship Sanctuary, where I wouldn't be here. But it's really hard. So when you are having a really bad day, and if, especially if you're in a toxic relationship or you've been in and out of toxic relationships, unhealthy relationships, and you're looking for that next one, and you're so fearful, you got to look at all of who you are because of that, those things, those people, those events. Because and when you figure out, okay, well, I'm stronger because of this. I have these qualities because of this. For me, I can tell you I'm the most resilient, disciplined, motivated, confident, self-assured, loving, empathetic, compassionate, I'm a strong, worthy person. And because of all of those things, could I have been those things without the traumas, without the abuse, without the things that came before this? I would hope so, right? Yeah, but that wasn't me. That wasn't happening. So I have to take the good from the bad. So when people are leaving a toxic relationship or any relationship, many stay because they, you know what? We don't want to lose something. We're going to lose something. And even if the relationship is bad, we don't want to lose that person. Most likely they've been a part of your life for a long time. But you have to start thinking about what you're going to gain by leaving. If this is an abusive, toxic situation, right? You or unhealthy. What are you going to gain? You're going to gain freedom. You're going to gain peace. You're going to enjoy. You're going to gain joy back in your life. It's not easy, but what will you gain? Instead of looking at it like, what would you lose? What will you gain? Right? And if you don't heal in between unhealthy, toxic relationships, you're going to get on dating apps. You're going to go on to, you know, all of these sites, and you're going to just start right away. And I have clients that, you know, will tell me that they went through this and then they got on the dating site. They went through this, they got on the dating app. And it doesn't work. Part of healing is a cocoon stage. And that cocoon stage means you go within and you don't worry about the opposite sex or the same sex. You go within and you learn to love you. And then when you come out, when you just break through that cocoon, you are that butterfly. You are ready to just shine your beauty onto the world and to only receive beauty back. See, before you go into the cocoon, you don't feel you have anything beautiful inside of you. You only have unworthiness and you're not good enough and you're not lovable, you're unforgiving. So you are attracting those people into your life. This is why after a breakup or a divorce, we go from one toxic person to the next. It keeps moving because we don't stop to go within and to get within this cocoon stage. And the reason people do not stop and they keep going back is because they really are looking for something outside of themselves, a person outside of themselves to fill their voids. And whenever you do that, you are putting the responsibility on someone else. They should make you happy, that they should do this, they should say this, because you can't make yourself happy. And then what you'll do is you end up with people that will not make you happy, maybe show you a glimpse of, okay, fine, I'm going to give you what you need or what you want a little bit. And then you get hooked onto it, right? You're hooked in. And then you just keep waiting for them to give you more of what you want, what you need. And you stay and you stay and you stay and you eat more crap sandwiches. That's the bottom line. You take more crap, you eat more crap, you feel worse about yourself, worse and worse and worse. But you're holding on, hoping that they're going to provide the love, safety, a sense of belonging that you desire and you deserve. But since you haven't given it to yourself, you are wanting somebody else to give it to you. And you are going to betray yourself over and over and over. You're going to self-abandon over and over and over. And if you are with a narcissist or somebody with severe narcissistic personality traits, they're going to take as you give until you are sunk into the ground. And then you are in quicksand. Once you get into the quicksand, it's really hard. You're trying to dig your way out. But it seems like the harder you move, the more you dig, what happens? The deeper you sink, right? So the more you, you know, talk, you try to speak to this toxic person, the more they, guess what, they push you down. See, you basically, the more you try to get acceptance and love, and the more you give in, the more, guess what happens? What do they do? The more they project their insecurities onto you, the more they might attack you, the more, you know, there's just no amount of giving that you can give to this person to make them love you. They're incapable, right? But one of the things you have to stop doing is stop shaming yourself for staying. You know, that's something that that a lot of my clients feel, is so much shame for staying. And it's a hard choice when you finally do decide to leave, right? And most of the reason we stay is that we hope that the relationship will change, you know, and we hope that stringing 5 good days together is a sign that the tide has shifted. 5 good days is nothing. You need about 55 good days. That doesn't mean there aren't little disagreements in there, but with an unhealthy relationship, there are more than its explosion, right? There's just bombs being dropped all over them. You know, and of course, people come to me, but Heather, I still love them. I still love them. No matter how treacherous, hurtful, and painful, you know, this person has been towards you or whatever it is, you still love them. And you want to hate them because it would be easier, but you still love them. See, and you know, trauma bonds, you have to recognize that you have loving feelings for a narcissistic person, and you may feel ashamed, right? And you might be heartbroken. You might be feeling foolish, but healing means not judging your feelings. See, there, you got to look at it. There's no mistakes in the process. It's just lessons. Just lessons. You got to learn the lessons. Do not shame yourself for it. It's normal, okay? Healing from these relationships, from unhealthy relationships, is about pushing back, okay, from your black and white thinking and embracing the gray area. You know, you don't have to see your narcissistic person as all bad, okay? But you can't keep lying to yourself about them, because it's not going to work, right? And it's who you are is most likely a very compassionate, loving, empathetic person, right? So just because you fell in love with a narcissistic person doesn't mean you can shut off being loving, empathetic, and compassionate. See, so it's like they may gaslight you, they may manipulate you, but you have a history, and I understand that. You love them. I understand, I do. And you wish it was could have been different. So, but that pattern of thinking, though, can keep us stuck. And so what it does is it's like reinforcing. If you have a good day, it reinforces this. Well, it puts the hope returns, right? The hope returns. And then it starts a cycle of hurt and disappointment again, and it goes round and around and around. See, here's the thing. Healing from a narcissist is possible whether you are in the relationship or not. I do not recommend ever staying with a narcissist forever. I don't. But I also do know that as you heal, can they heal? Most people will tell you no, and I believe that they can make some changes, but again, it has to become harder for them to say the same. But I 100% support people that aren't ready to leave, but want to start healing, because what can happen is as you heal, most likely you can no longer handle this type of a relationship, and you end up leaving on your terms, not before you're ready. Because I do know that if we leave before we're ready to leave, we go running back. Every client of mine will go running back in some way. So I'm about leaving when you're ready. leaving when you're ready. And nobody can tell you when that is, but I can tell you, if you do nothing towards moving to healing, you will live in the misery you're living in forever. But if you move at least towards healing and you start the process and you start to change things and look within and start, either this person will come to the plate a little bit, which with a narcissist, I mean, they have to have lost almost everything for them to come to the plate. But anyways, or you will say, I don't want this anymore, and you will leave the relationship. Okay. See, shame keeps us binded with the narcissist. Shame of what we are allowing. Shame of what we think about ourselves for staying. Shame of what we're, you know, we're filled with, you know, what people think of us because we have allowed this, all of these things. But what you need to understand is if you need help, and you want to find somebody that's non-judgmental, trauma-informed, and they're genuine and very well-versed in how narcissism works, right? See, so many people come to me and say, we went to couples therapy, but he or she basically, you know what, hooked the therapist. It happens all the time with a narcissist, right? You have to have somebody that's willing to tell you the truth, and especially if you're going as a couple, that's willing to keep the narcissist, you know what, in control and accountable. Because narcissistic partners are notorious for manipulating the therapist or the coach. They act composed, right? While you are emotionally shredded and, you know what, sharing frustrations and strong feelings, and they're just sitting there completely composed. That right there to me is a red flag, right? So when I'm working with somebody and I know the other person is a narcissist and their partner is, again, emotionally breaking down in front of me, and the partner is not showing much emotion at all. See, a non-narcissistic partner would, even if they were doing some gaslighting or what, you know, whatever, because not all gaslighting happens by a lot of people. It's not just narcissists. But even so, if the other problem person is, you know, the one that's causing a lot of the issues in the relationship, it's always a two-way street, but one usually is, you know, has a much dirtier side. But anyways, somebody that's not a narcissist will be in distress, sitting there watching their partner so sad and in distress. They will show signs of sadness and remorse. A narcissist will just be like, see, they might not say it, but their attitude is, oh, see what I deal with? They're just emotionally unhinged. Too bad. So my recommendation to you is to think about what you will gain outside of if you leave this relationship. What are you missing right now? What do you want? What do you need? So whatever you want and need, okay, write it down. What do you want? What do you need? Then, has this person ever been able to give you any of these things? This is just a start, by the way. Have they ever been able to give you any of these things? Probably not. So then I want you to write down, have you given yourself any of these things? And what does it feel like to be in this marriage or relationship? What would you gain by leaving it? Peace, freedom, joy, love, so many things, right? And then I want you to ask yourself, what can I do to start the healing process that will enable me to leave this relationship? What can I do? If you go to the comments section or the show notes, will see a link to my calendar. You can book a free call to see if I can help you. These free calls are for people that are serious. Working with me is a commitment, it's work, and it's an investment. It's a time investment and a money investment and a work investment. So only book that call if you're ready. So anyways, I love you. I care. And I know how hard it is. And I know that there are regrets. But I also know that today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. And you can completely turn your life around through healing. Until next time.